Trevor Talk is Jericho. It's the pod of thunder and rock and roll. And because it's Friday, we're getting the weekend started off with the Duff McKagan joke of the week.
Hey, Chris Jericho. It's Duff McKagan calling in. And how are you doing there? You know, a friend of mine has been married a long time. He told me a secret. He's got him and his wife. You know what she? Yeah, he's after when she wants to have sex, simply just tug on his wiener once, and if she doesn't want to have sex, tug on his wiener 500 times. Thank you.
Duff is coming back, baby. Oh, man, these jokes are stinkier than three-day-old sausage, but I love it. Duff McKagan from a little rock and roll Hall of Fame band called Guns N' Roses. I want to thank him for keeping us laughing every Friday and, of course, groaning for the entire week. Here on Talk is Jericho, where else are you going to hear a rock and roll Hall of Famer telling you stinker jokes every Friday, only here? And where else are you going to get the guitar player from Def Leppard returning to Talk is Jericho to talk about 30 years of a hysteria. I'm talking about the amazing Phil Collin. Such a great guy. He's got stories about what it took to write and record that album with producer Mutt Lange, 30 years old this year, and how it took a year for the album to catch on and explode, mostly thanks to some strippers in Florida. Gotta love them strippers, man. Phil's also a huge Walking Dead fan, so we talk about that, and Game of Thrones, and Breaking Bad. We also get into his other band, a blues band he has with Robert DeLeo from Stone Temple Pilots. He's an upcoming guest here on Talk is Jericho. They're called Delta Deep. They got a new album and are currently on tour. I even got a bonus story for you at the end of the show. After I hit stop on the recorder, Phil and I were still sitting on his tour bus talking. He started telling this crazy story about Jaco Pastorius, the amazing legendary bass player from the Weather Report. You might remember Rob Trujillo talking about him because Rob did the documentary called Jaco. Phil had a great story. I hit record and Phil said I could run it on the show. So stick around after the conversation to hear the crazy story about the winter night in Europe when Def Leppard met Jaco Pastorius. And speaking of Europe, Fozzy's in Europe right now with Steel Panther. I'm recording this in Oslo. By the time you hear it, we will be in the Netherlands in Tilburg. That's Saturday, February 3rd, tomorrow night. February 4th in Oberhausen. February 6th in Munich. 7th is Luxembourg. That's our first time in Luxembourg. Our first time in Norway as well. Stuttgart on the 8th. Zurich on the 9th. Then we head to Spain for the first time on the 11th in Barcelona. 12th is Madrid. Then we finish it all up in Bilbao. And what a great tour this has been. Hopefully, if you guys are in any of those cities, come on down and check us out. Fozzy is on fire, running at full cylinders. And the thing I love about this tour is that Steel Panther fans are a lot like Fozzy fans. They just enjoy a good time. People are coming here, whether they know Fozzy or not, they're getting into it and having a great, great time and a great, great show. Nothing but smiles and lots of fun and, everything in between. So come on down, check us out. Go to FozzyRock.com for all information on the gigs and the Fozzy VIP packages. Yesterday, we played Judas, Drinking with Jesus, and Mental Health by Quiet Riot for the Fozzy VIPs. Day before, it was Fozzy Drinking with Jesus. It was Cold Gin, and it was, what else did we play? We played something else, too. I can't remember what it was. But we had a great time playing some great rock and roll. TNT, that's what we played. We do songs you're not going to hear later on that night. FozzyRock.com for all information. And also, go there for all information on the Judas Rising Tour 2018 with Through Fire, Santa Cruz, and Dark Sky Choir. We start February 28th in New Orleans. We go all across the country. You get tickets for that at FozzyRock.com. And don't forget to buy the Fozzy Rock VIP to come meet us, hang out, and hear some songs you're not going to hear anywhere else. Just private concert only for you. Available at FozzyRock.com. But speaking of great rock and roll, let's pour some sugar on Phil Collin from Def Leppard right here on Talk is Jericho. Here on Phil Collin's bus, this is what I love about when you have a band like ZZ Top or Def Leppard or Motley Crue, or you guys all have your own buses.
Yeah, well, actually, I'm the only one who does. The other guys share.
Oh, do they really?
Yeah, but just the diet thing and all, just other things, you know, it kind of works out that way, and have the big bed. But we have two other buses.
Okay.
So Joe and Sav share, and Rick and Vivian share.
So you said you go on your own because of the diet.
Well, yeah, mostly. I mean, I eat different to everyone else. You know, I'm a vegan. Rick Allen is as well, but I'm like kind of...
Like having your own fridge full of stuff. Yeah. You don't want anybody pulling the old roommate thing and eating your stuff or whatever.
Maybe not that they do. Rick does, actually. Rick Allen actually does. He's the Ricky Mouse. Sneaks in there, yeah.
But it's great, though, because we're here at Rocklahoma. I had to think about it because there's so many of them.
Right.
Rocklahoma, Rock in the Range, Rock Fest, Rock with Your Cock Out. It's like, it's just rock, rock, rock. But I mean, and it's cool because, you know, we played early in the day, and as a, you know, as a band that's kind of working your way up, we get here on, you know, we're here at noon and we're sitting around and we're, you guys pulling at like 8:30, right. You're on at 10:30. It's like me and WWE, I show up like an hour before, whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, but that's gives you enough time to feel cool and calm down and do what
absolutely.
You have to do.
Absolutely. Yeah, because we had a pretty much like a day off today. You know, we was in Tulsa and we was chilling out there. And
right.
Went to the gym, kind of done a bit of sunbathing, went down to Starbucks. There's a lovely new library there. So just stuff like that, you know.
Do you like
so,
going around the town like you said, a lovely new library? Like,
yeah, I know, right? Because we was in Tulsa a few years ago and it said under construction. We went, yeah, right, this is going to be demolished. It was like really in bad shape.
Yeah, yeah.
We come back this time, there's this brand new, gorgeous library with all screens and real books as well. So we were shocked.
Which is such almost like a lost thing, like a library.
Totally, yeah.
Like, right? I remember I used to take my kids to the library when they were little, but they don't really want to go now. It's one of those kind of forgotten things.
It's a shame, but it was really nice. It had a great vibe. So, yeah, we always, whenever we can, actually all the time, we get up. I wake up at 6:30 every day, so it's like ding, and then, you know,
you want to go kind of explore the town that you're in, and you do that every city and all the
pretty
touring?
Much yeah, yeah.
Do you just get off the bus and walk around, or do you have a little list of things that you want to try and find?
Not just busket, just free form. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, like you said, I mean, waking up at 6 in the morning, not exactly, like I say, the most rock and roll thing.
Right.
But here we are, Def Leppard in 2017, and you're known as the, you know, Phil Collins, the fitness buff, and, you know, the guy who doesn't wear a shirt. And it's almost become like it's actually a badge of honor that people almost take the piss out of, but it's like, sorry, dude, you're
absolutely.
In shape.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
But you lost a little weight that I noticed
absolutely.
Last time.
Yeah. We just started doing this just eating slightly different and just kind of getting kind of what we've been having for dinner, you know, sliced avocados, sliced tomatoes on a bed of greens with peppers and stuff. Doesn't sound much, but we make it delicious. And it's like, so that's it. And it's like trying to not eat out as much because you get so stuffed.
Sure,
and,
sure, sure. Was this something you did then by design?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I want to get down. I said, I'm not going to drink another coffee till I'm 146. And I'm usually 152, something like that, you know. So I got 144. It's the lightest I've been for years.
So did you have a coffee?
Oh, yeah. I'm back on it, full tilt.
Now, how much did you weigh at your biggest?
When I was working out a lot, like three times a day and that, and I was chowing down, I got to 157.
Right.
Yeah, so that was my
And that
max.
Looked pretty buff.
Yeah, that
like
was...
You look like a competition bodybuilder a lot of ways on stage, right?
Yeah, it kind of, it was a lot bigger. And But it was a lot, you know, as you know, it's harder to maintain.
Sure it is, right.
And you know, kind of... easier to in actually when I was cruising on there, you know, you get to a level and it's actually you plateau and it's pretty cool. But I was working out a lot. I was doing like the, you know, 12 to 15 3-minute kickbox rounds, you know, just like pads and stuff, and then a body part every day just doing weights and stuff. So it's a little less now
because
so.
I remember you had the kickboxing set up at the venue.
Yeah, I still take that. I still have the bob and that, and I
they kick stick that in the back of the trailer.
Yeah, yeah. He's it's, there.
We did that this trip with our guitar player and myself. We put a mountain bike in the trailer.
Oh, cool.
So as soon as you get to the venue, you pull the bike out of the trail and just go riding around. And sometimes it takes you 10 minutes and you'll find these beautiful areas. But when you're stuck on the bus all day, you don't know, there's nothing around here. I'm like, dude, there's like a whole Wizard of Oz land of color just over the hill.
Yeah.
But if you don't pack some of that stuff in there, the tour becomes a lot less fun.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Yeah.
And it seemed like that gave you kind of an outlet to maybe get out some stress or get your mind in shape for the gig or...
It's the best thing in the world. I mean, yeah, it's part of the routine, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's cool.
How about the Phil Collins vegetable shake?
Oh yeah, so we're still doing
smoothie,
that.
Smoothie, or is it the shake?
Yes, a smoothie. Yeah. So yeah. We pack it full of greens, like, you know, get spinach in there and cashew milk, bananas, you know, frozen blueberries and stuff like that. And
well, no, the one that you gave me, there was ginger involved.
Oh, right. Okay, that was
lemon.
The juice one, right?
The juicer. Yeah. That's what I was talking about. Yeah,
yes.
The juicer. The thing about that was, though, I made it and it tastes great, but it took so...
It does. Clean it.
That's the
thing. So we don't do that anymore. It's like, for that reason.
Like, you would have to have somebody, like a tech or somebody, just their job is to change right? guitar strings and clean Phil's juicer.
Absolutely.
With all the rinds and stuff, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So touring for as long as you guys have, is there other things that you like to do to keep yourself sane when you go on these? Because you guys are out quite a bit, especially recently.
Yeah, I mean, the last year and a half I've been doing the Tesla album, so I've been producing it, so they've been out with us, so we've been recording every second we get.
Wow.
So we just finished it. It's starting, they're starting to mix it now. Ronan, our out front guy who does all the Def Leppard stuff, all the albums and that, he's mixing it, and it's just phenomenal. It's like, if you can imagine taking Queen, Zeppelin, the Beatles, but Tesla doing it in a kind of a modern way, it sounds, we're blown away. So that's...
So how are you doing this on the road then?
Usually guitars. We do guitars on tour. Not really many vocals. We do that and drums in a studio. We do the drums last.
You do the drums last?
Yeah.
That's different.
Yeah.
Usually the drums are first.
Right. So, but then you're stuck with it. So, you know, we actually change tempos and stuff like that. And then we lock in, and then the drums can go around the vocals. You're not kind of you're not fighting with that. We did that. We've always done that with Def Leppard, actually.
Really?
So, yeah.
Do the drums last?
Yeah.
Wow. So where do you do the guitars? On the bus or the dressing room? Or?
We always find a dressing room, like a spare room, We've done them on here. We've done, you know, all over the place. But yeah, it's been really cool.
So when you're producing, what are you doing when you're in the dressing room? Try it again. Do it this way. Do it that way.
I joined the band, you know, I really did join the band. We're trying to make these songs amazing. And then all the guitars have got to be, you know, there's a grunt work, couple of rhythm guitars and everything. It's embellishments over the top of that. You just make it interesting. If you've got a guide vocal, you don't want to step on it. It's like the drums, you know, and before you know it, it's like kind of like painting by numbers. And you just kind of improve on it. And it's great. And, you know, and everything, you know, lyrics, go back, do another attempt, you know, just make it better.
Pass at it,
absolutely,
right?
And hooks, just even lyrically and everything else. So it's
because we were talking earlier. I mentioned that we were just on tour with a band called King. We had great chemistry with great guys, and we're like, we should pull a Def Leppard and just have them come with us everywhere, the way that you guys have with Tesla.
Right,
you guys have been touring with Tesla since maybe last summer.
Summer before, actually,
two summers.
Yeah.
So what's the chemistry there?
Well, they were the first band that played on it in the round stage on the Hysteria tour 30 something years ago.
No kidding.
Yeah. They were the opening act, so
okay.
we got real history, you know, really good friends, and so I can be open with them, you know. It's kind of like, in some cases, even more so than Def Leppard, you know, because, you know, we all have our, it becomes a set thing, and we all know our roles in Def Leppard, you know. But with Tesla, I know all the guys, but, you know, we haven't got that kind of relationship, so it was really cool jumping in.
You don't have to worry about hurting somebody's feelings, where you're going to be on stage looking across the way going, "This son of a bitch."
Yeah, that's right? Great.
So that's interesting. So how did you end up getting the gig to produce?
So, you know, my other band, Delta Deep.
Right. Well, there was Man Ray's too.
Absolutely.
Now this is Delta Deep. That's with the female singer.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's more the blues band.
Yes.
Gotcha.
So we wrote a song for that, and I played it to Brian Wheat, and he said, "Oh man, Tesla have to do that song." He said, "Produce it." So I did. We actually done some of that on tour as well, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that came up. We finished up. It sounded great, and they said, "Hey, do you want to do the album?"
And that's how it goes.
That was it, yeah.
So do you find now, you know, when we do these festivals, you're doing these festivals, you just did the tour with Poison and Tesla. Do you feel that Def Leppard is bigger now? Maybe not as big as 87, but bigger than any time since then.
Absolutely, yeah.
And why do you say that?
Integrity. I think, you know, we keep at it. It's the original members, and we keep trying to raise the bar.
Mm-hmm.
Like Joe's singing the best he's ever sung. You know, a little scare a couple of years ago. The
right,
throat thing.
Yeah.
And he started doing all these different vocal warm-ups, really taking care of it, and it really helped. And it's just moved us to another...
Because every summer you guys are going out.
Yeah.
And it's always an interesting collection of bands, always great collection of bands.
Yeah.
How do you decide? I think maybe last year it was Styx, this year's
right.
Poison. A couple of years ago maybe it was Heart. I think it was Cheap Trick, Heart, and Def Leppard I saw one time, or some connection of the combination of those. How do you decide the bands that you go out with?
There's less and less bands there. They're all disappearing, you know, so... It's kind of obvious. We're scrambling to get a band to do that. So
what do you mean they're disappearing?
Well, they split up. They don't exist anymore. None of the members. There's like one guy left in the band. So this is great with Tesla and Poison. It's the four original guys in
right.
Poison. So that's really massive, you know, integrity there. So
that,
you know,
does mean something.
It really does.
You know, and I'm not talking bad, but it's the honest truth. I saw Foreigner and Styx
right.
a couple of years ago, and there was no original members of Foreigner.
Right,
I mean, Mick Jones came out at the end, but at first, the first six songs, it's like, there's not one original member.
Right.
And that's kind of a disconnect where it's almost like, is this even, can you even call it Foreigner?
Right.
Or is
I
it
agree.
Like, you know, yeah. Foreigner-esque or something along those lines? But you guys, like you said, have the original guys that is as close to the original as possible.
Absolutely.
Without
yeah.
passing away or whatever it may be.
Yeah.
And fans do have a lot of stock in that.
I think so, yeah.
You know? They appreciate that, like you said, the integrity of it. You guys sound great.
Sound better. Every year it gets better. Singing gets better. Playing gets better. Everything.
And you but you take advantage of the technology that's available. You got like, you four guys are singing, but you have tracks on stage as
no,
well.
No,
no. tracks
no,
at all.
All real vocals.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because that's hard. I mean, you talk about those Mutt Lange recorded records that have layers and layers and layers.
160 voices sometimes.
Unbelievable.
And, yeah.
So the four of you guys carry it.
Yeah.
That's
great. The three of us, really. I mean, me Vivian and Sav do the main one, and Joe comes in, and Rick stopped singing a few years ago. He's got a great voice, but he concentrates on his drums.
Yeah, he's
got to
play. Yeah,
but
exactly.
yeah, and we have this blend going that's kind of almost unnatural. You know, you kind of like the Everly Brothers or the Eagles when mm-hmm. they had this blend, and it kind of even if you sat in a room like this and sung, you'd go whoa. So I get wowed every night just even singing with these guys. It's mm-hmm. it's weird, actually, in a great way.
There's nothing better than hitting those harmonies.
Yeah.
Harmonies. We do a lot of that in our band. And, you know, sometimes it's a little wavery, but when you nail it,
nothing
it's
like
the
it,
best feeling
right?
in the world, you know? It reminds me of, like, you talking about the Eagles or the Beatles, especially, like in 64 when it was so loud in the arenas.
Yeah.
They couldn't even hear themselves singing. But they still were locked in perfect harmony because they had so much practice and so much chemistry
Definitely.
And connection. You know, that to me is just, that blows me because now we have inner ears. You can always hear what's going on. Turn this vocal up, turn this one down. But then they're just basically guessing.
Right.
And
Absolutely.
Still getting it.
Still nailing it.
You know?
Amazing.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey, this is Chris Jericho inviting you to the first ever Rock and Wrestling Rager at Sea. Picture this, rock and roll, wrestling, comedy, live podcasting, all on the open ocean from October 27th to the 31st, 2018, from Miami to Nassau. I'm bringing Hall of Fame wrestlers, some of the greatest rock and roll bands on the planet, and putting the first wrestling ring on a cruise ship ever. Don't be a stupid idiot. Make the list. Check us out at ChrisJerichoCruise.com.
When you mentioned Hysteria, and we're talking about pretty much the 30th anniversary of Hysteria,
yeah.
What do you remember recording that record and going into that record?
Going into it, we wrote all the songs with Mutt Lange, and he said, look, we can't be ordinary here. This has to be spectacular, otherwise we ain't going to bother, and everyone else is doing Pyromania Part 2.
Right.
So let's go in and did different influences. There was rap music was just coming out. There mm-hmm. was a lot of bands like Frankie Goes to Hollywood, The Police, a lot of different kind of areas that you could kind of, Duran Duran, you know, Billy Idol. It was all very different. So we took all the influences off of
like
that.
The pop sensibilities of
yeah. yeah. And, you know, Run DMC and whatever was happening, you know, mm-hmm. so just a bit of that. And just made it very different. It couldn't be standard and it couldn't be the same as anything else, so that was the thing, and it really sounded good. It was a brave thing, because when it first came out, people were going, well, it doesn't sound like rock, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But we're like, you know, it sounds different, it sounds unique.
Right. Well, it's interesting though, because you had so much momentum after Pyromania, and then Rick has his accident.
Yes.
And then, which is still one of the most honorable things I think in rock and roll history, instead of getting a stand-in or a temp, you wait.
Yeah.
And was that like a collective thing? Like, we're waiting for him.
We were anyway. We were still recording. So,
okay.
You know, it kind of worked out great. And
yeah, yeah.
We left it up to him what he wanted to do, you know. Mm. So that was great.
But I mean, so you kind of lose some of that momentum. So it's 4 years in between.
Yes.
So when it comes out, were you guys a little nervous? Like, do people still care?
No, we actually wasn't nervous because we were so into what we'd just done. I actually remember me and Steve Clark were sitting there going, you know, if no one even buys this, it's just our parents that hear it. We're satisfied.
Right, right, right.
It's cool.
What was it like making the record with Mutt Lange?
It was great. It was just I love working with him. It's pure inspiration. And you know, he just has these great ideas. And it's like, it will push you and he'll make you sing harder and better than you've ever done or play better. Different in a different way, not just like shredding or something. You've got to get in the pocket and melodic stuff and, you know, counter rhythms and groove and melody. That's his thing. And then obviously lyrics and the performance. And yeah, it's just amazing.
Does he sing on the records too?
Every album he's ever done, he's
because like, it's interesting. I just was listening to a Highway to Hell the other day, and never dawned on me or never struck me, he's all over that record.
Absolutely.
You listen to Touch Too Much, I mean,
yeah,
there's no Ace, like there's no Malcolm Young in the chorus of that song. It's all Mutt.
Yes.
And I was just thinking about like every one of his records has that theme going through, whether it's Bryan Adams or Shania or Def Leppard. Right.
Like Love Bites, that's all him, all the backing vocals.
Really?
We're in there, but we're tucked down. It's mainly all him. And he's one take, he's the best singer in the room always.
Wow.
Yeah.
So how was that for you guys when you come in? They just let him do his thing and...
Yeah, and then we just add to it. Mm-hmm. And then he'll get us to sing a certain way. But he's a master at his singing. It's like, he'll wake up like 4 in the morning, he'll just get up, bang, one take, and then he'll track it, and it's crazy.
You know, it's interesting because you talk about that record, and you mentioned, like, when it first came out, I think the first single was Women.
Yeah.
And when you first hear it, it's an interesting choice because it's not a balls-out rock.
Right, right.
It's much atmospheric, and I think at the same time, maybe Appetite for Destruction came out. And
same year, absolutely.
Both those records took a whole year to really kick in.
They totally did, yeah.
Which you would never have that nowadays.
No.
You know?
Right.
So tell us a little bit about that. Was that always the plan? Like, we'll give it some time or...
No, we just... Mutt said, we want to make an album that'll last. We want songs that people... Actually, we're playing... We didn't think 30 years, but...
Yeah, right.
20 years, maybe. And so here we are 30 years later. But that was the thing. He said, you know, you really want to succeed, you have to have songs that last. And I was talking to Robert DeLeo, who plays in Delta Deep, and he's, you know,
oh, is he okay?
Yeah,
he's still pilots.
Yeah. I said, yeah, we're killing it out, it's great. I said I don't know why. He said, well, I do. He said, it's those songs, you know, they still work, they still mean that, they're just great songs and they last. So I think that's what it was, and that was Mutt's kind of intention, really.
And was it when Sugar came out that really busted the record open? That's what really put it through the roof, right? Because I think it was Women. I think it was Animal after that.
Yep, then Hysteria.
Then Hysteria, wow. So you're just throwing them at the wall.
Yeah, no, they weren't sticking at first. Yeah.
So how did it take so long to release Pour Some Sugar? That could be your biggest anthem ever.
Absolutely. The label thought it was going to, one of these songs would go, and they just didn't. And then the girls in Florida, the strippers, was requesting it on local radio.
Really?
Before it even was a single, and then they started playing it on the radio, and it just snowballed just like that. So it was strippers, yeah.
God bless the strippers.
Absolutely, right?
Yeah. We had a song on our last record called "Lights Go Out," and we got this note that it was top 10 on the DJ strip club charts for like 4 months. I was like, "What are you talking about? Like DJ, like strip club DJs have their own charts?"
I didn't know that.
I didn't either until our song was like number 4 between like, you know, Wiz Khalifa and freaking whoever it was.
Fantastic.
You know, Busta Rhymes and Fozzy's right in the middle. I was like, "Well, God bless the strippers."
Yeah,
they've always taken care of the boys.
Absolutely,
right?
Without a doubt,
all across the board. And like you said, now with these, all the, have you thought of doing in kind of the record in its entirety or anything like that?
We did that in Vegas.
Oh, okay, with your residency,
which was great. And maybe again, you know, when we get the offer, and we done a festival and they wanted it, so we in France. So yeah, if anyone asked for it, yeah.
Was it hard, cool, like learning a couple of the more obscure tunes, like Gods of War or something?
Run Riot.
Oh gosh.
And singing it and playing it, da 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 da. It's like, oh shit. So yeah,
because that's you probably never played it live.
Never played it at the same time. You know,
you do the song, you record it, you leave it.
Yeah.
And then you have to remember how you did it.
That's it.
It's funny because I had Vivian on this show with Phil from Last in Line.
Right, okay.
And he was talking about when he started playing those Dio songs that he had to go on YouTube and watch fans play them.
Yeah.
To remember how do I do the solo in Rainbow in the Dark? You had to go online and watch it.
Brilliant.
Because you don't remember any of that
absolutely
stuff, right?
And there was so much stuff on those records, on Hysteria, stuff that you'd go, what is that? And I vaguely remembered it. And then there's counter melodies, vocals, counter guitars, counter riffs, chords. I mean, it's like, so you just have to choose the best parts.
Right, right, right. So when you guys go on a tour like this, do you ever do like, obviously you have your 10, 12 hits that you have to play. Do you ever drop in like an obscure one just for yourself or for the hardcores?
We did, and then the new album came out, so we had to kind of integrate
the new songs.
So the deep cuts have to go.
What were some of the deep cuts that you threw in there?
We done Paper Sun was the last one, and Promises and stuff like that.
Promises,
yeah,
that was from was the record
Euphoria.
Euphoria, yeah, that was a good tune.
So they had to go because, you know, the new stuff had to take precedent, you know.
Do you ever get any of, like, the I mean, there's still the metal guys that, you know, Def Leppard was in the new wave of British heavy metal, still want to hear Wasted or Me and My Wine or, you know.
Yeah, well the funny thing, we do that sometimes. One of the things was kind of weird, we had, we played Wembley once and Mensch, our manager at the time, Peter Mensch, goes, let's do Wasted. And we did it, and 9,099 people went, and like three people were going, hey, you know, this is great. So, yeah, it's a great idea, but it's not really.
It's so funny because Paul Stanley said the same thing. He's like, you know, people want to hear us do, you know, something off The Elder or something off of Unmasked. And it's like, we could do those songs, but then, A, we have to take one of the hits out.
Yep.
And you've got 99% of the people crossing their arms going, why aren't you doing Love Gun?
Yes.
You know, and there's the hardcores that are like, yes, but those guys, you have to understand, guys, it doesn't work that way,
right?
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's just how you have to think about it. If not, because you guys did do a thing with the residency where you came out and opened for yourself.
Absolutely, that was great. That was random. Every night it would be like Side One of High and Dry or Riding in the Sun, all these different songs, you know, Ring of Fire, a B-side, you know.
So what was your mindset behind that?
Just to give them everything, really, and to be the opening act, and it didn't really matter. So if we and they were great, we recorded it all. I was surprised at how well they turned out, actually.
What was the band called?
Dead Flat Bird.
Dead Flat Bird.
Yeah, yeah.
So would you guys come up with like hats on, or would you come up with your Def Leppard gear on? Or
Rick Savage had a stick-on moustache. Yeah, I had a big white flowy shirt on. And so yeah, we kind of really acted up to it, and then we went off, had a quick shower. And actually done a theatrical, it was actually like being in theater. It was really weird. We done Hysteria, and it felt different because we were actually playing a part.
Yeah. Did you like doing the residency?
It was cool. It was a lot of work, but it was really cool.
A lot of work as far as putting together the production, or
that and all the rehearsing. You know, because we had to learn like 30 songs and ones that we didn't know. And,
right, for the Dead Flat Bird teams as well, right? Because you can't just go out there and just wing it. It sucks, and someone's going to catch it on the camera.
Definitely.
You can't
do that anymore.
Is that something you guys would do again, the residency?
Yeah, we've been offered it, but it's like something always goes, okay, you got South America, you got another tour comes, that's another leg of a tour. So, at some point we probably do.
But so going out in the States every summer.
Yeah.
Do you then follow it up by going to Europe every fall, or how does that kind of
every work? Other year?
Every other year.
Yeah.
So. What other countries are you really popular in besides obviously England?
Japan. We done Lithuania a couple of years ago, and we've been going there for years. We had like 1,800 people, 3,000. Then we played a 7,000 seat arena with all like 17-year-old kids.
Interesting.
Going crazy, singing all the words.
What was the rise there?
I don't know. I think just keep going back, and there's a bit of a momentum and a bit of a snowball thing, and the fact that, you know, AC/DC's gone, Motley's gone, and a lot of the bands that were around, it's kind of they're kind of disappearing. And,
like you said, right?
Yeah,
right,
the integrity people go, well, they dig the fact that you still hear these songs, and the band's still there. It's a real band. It's like you know.
You keep mentioning that word integrity.
Yeah.
It seems like that means a lot to the Def Leppard, you know, brand.
It does, and I think that the fans really see that. I've been saying that even with the Poison thing and Tesla, you know, I think it's so important for Poison to be those four guys. Mm-hmm. They go out there and they kill it every night. It's great. And people who didn't particularly like Poison are coming and seeing them now, and it means something else.
Mm-hmm.
It with that integrity, they go, "Wow, this is wow! I remember this. Wow, it's the same guy. It's CC DeVille. There's Brett, and he's great. He's a great showman, and the whole thing really works. Same deal with Tesla. It's like it's the same guys, and they're out there. Only they're a better band than what they used to be. Right, so that's cool.
Because it's so rare to get a band with the original guys.
Absolutely.
It's U2, Rush, even though it's not the original drummer was on the. But then ZZ Top, I think.
Yeah.
That could be your only ones that have had the same lineup basically the whole career.
Yeah.
Right? You know what I mean? So when you're on the road and you are passing time during the day when you're not working out, I know that one of our connections that we have is Walking Dead.
Right, absolutely.
Still your favorite show?
Absolutely, yeah.
So what did you think of the most recent season?
I thought that they drew it out a little bit. I felt a little... I was waiting for something, and I sensed a little bit of... They could have edited a little bit, and it would have been a bit more exciting, I think.
I find that they've been doing that over the last couple seasons. We'll have a big, it's like a set list where it opens strong, but then it goes real kind of, you know, psychedelic blues jam, and then they hit you with a hit. Because they've done that for a few years now, I found. And I also thought, too, like, I thought it started so crazy with the whole Negan thing with Glenn and with Abraham.
Yeah.
You know, like one of the most riveting, crazy, sickest things.
Right?
Like, did you see that coming?
No, not at all. Not at all.
Did you think that somebody might escape, or what did you think was going to happen? Because what happened for people that hadn't seen it was before the season ended, it was the cliffhanger.
Yes.
Where Negan had the baseball bat wrapped in barbed wire.
Right.
And everyone's down on their knees.
Who's it going to be? Yeah.
Who's it going to be? And then you had to wait all summer.
Yeah.
People were furious.
Absolutely.
I was like, that's great. That's what
it's
you
great.
Want, right?
Absolutely.
So what did you think? Is it showing us a picture? Is that with the Walking Dead guys?
Dead guys, yes.
Let me see. Oh, look at this. It's a picture with, is that Nicotero? Who is that? Tell me the story.
That was, we played Atlanta about 3 weeks ago.
Okay.
Yeah, about 3 weeks ago, and they come down, the makeup.
Oh. So,
do you see the spiky zombie that they threw?
In the junkyard. Oh, that's him. Go, yeah. Oh, there you go. They threw him in a junkyard, and they had stuck spikes to this guy, which was awesome, by the
really
way.
Awesome.
How would
that
you fight?
Scary. I know, right?
You couldn't get close because the spikes are there, but he's coming after you.
And he's a zombie.
Yeah.
The entire makeup crew, they came.
Yeah, they all came.
The whole
crew,
so they all came to see the show.
He was gonna come, but he was
okay. Gotcha. Because I know that Daryl's a big metalhead.
Yes,
Norman Reedus.
He was going to come down as well, but he couldn't make it either. So.
I saw him. He was playing bass with Anthrax.
No
way. A couple months ago,
fantastic.
He's a bass player or whatever. But that's cool when you get the mutual respect of the people that you watch the show and they come and see you, right?
Yeah.
Are they kind of in awe when they meet you guys?
Yeah, they are, and it's kind of cool. They're going to get me.
Oh, they're going to put you on there.
That's what they said. Yeah, they said, if you want to be on it. I said, yeah. I'll be a zombie, absolutely.
Well, Scott Ian did that too.
Did he?
He put the makeup on. There was like a 1 second shot. And anytime on that show, when they'll show like a close up of a random zombie, you know it's somebody.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay.
Because they give the guy a little bit of FaceTime or whatever, you know? So we're talking about the season ends.
Yes.
So what did you think was going to happen?
I think it was a little diluted, the whole thing towards the end, and that, you know, it's starting off pretty strong. And I know they got some other stuff. They're just drawing it out for a
bit. But when we were talking about the Negan thing, did you think that Negan was not going to kill anybody?
No, I knew he was.
Okay.
It was absolutely.
But they pulled the double whammy of the two of them.
Didn't see that at all.
You know?
Didn't see it at all.
Just super violent, man.
Vicious, yeah.
Like, that's one thing with that show is you never know what's coming that way.
Right, like the sink, that one, the couple of seasons before, that was...
Slaughterhouse?
Oh, jeez, that was brutal.
It's funny because I did Talking Dead.
See, you know, you were great. Because we watched that, you were the best guest that there's ever been. Seriously, you were the best guest ever. You were informed, it was like really smart and intelligent. And everyone on there, they were like... Whoa, okay, that's really... And the makeup crew actually said that as well.
No kidding.
Yeah.
They said,
man, he was so good on the show.
Well, they always drop little hints of what's going to happen. And that one that we were talking about, that certain episode, was they had trapped everybody in Terminus.
Yes.
Which is the cannibal camp. But earlier in the episode, I'm probably getting this wrong, and Walking Dead, you know, nerds, please don't yell at me, but... Rick was showing Carl how to catch a rabbit, and he says you have to draw a trail, and you draw him into the trail, and then you do a bottleneck where it starts with the bigger trail and it gets smaller, and then as soon as they get into the hole, you shut it in there. And that's what they did, catch them in Terminus. So it was foreshadowing how to catch a rabbit, aka how to catch a human being. And that's what I said.
They're like,
you're a genius. I'm like, no, but it's right there. They always do that.
Yeah.
You know?
But no one else followed it. No one got... You got it.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Do you ever go back and watch them all?
No. Do you do that?
Well, my wife got into it just this year, so I watched the whole from beginning.
How was that?
Doing it's great time, to right? watch it from the beginning.
Wow.
Because you can see the real development of the characters. Ones that we forgot, like Shane.
Oh, yeah. Love Shane. He was a major player.
And great to see how he's slowly losing it until he finally, yeah. you know, it's a long progression. But you forget about, what's the old guy's name with the white ponytail? No, Dale is the one guy, Dale. But who was the boss of the farm?
Herschel.
Yeah. That yeah. whole thing and the governor and like every season something cool would happen.
Yeah.
You've forgotten about it, right. you know? And like you see like with Negan and all his character, with all his cast of characters and like all that sort of thing. I thought that maybe Negan should have ended at the end of this season.
I do, really. I think it was, you know, that's what I felt was a little overstating it, overstaying the welcome type thing. It's yeah. like, it's done. It's enough already kind of thing.
So what do you like best about Walking Dead?
That it's nothing to do with zombies, that it's really about human monsters.
Bingo, man.
Yeah.
That's what I've told my wife for years. It's yeah. like, it's not about zombies. I don't like it. It's not about zombies.
Right.
Zombies are minor players at times.
Totally.
Like you just said about human monsters.
Yeah.
Right?
And they're vicious. As we're seeing in the world right now, you know, it's
right.
everywhere. Every country's got them. It's like, you know, it's not unique to one place. It's a generalized, you know, human nature's pretty weird. And
yeah. yeah. Take a quick little detour here. Are Def Leppard a Manchester band?
Sheffield. Sheffield. I'm from London, but yeah, the guys Sheffield. Are from Sheffield. Yeah.
What did you think about the Manchester thing?
I kind of saw that coming years ago. You
How
know?
Do you mean?
It's like, you know, big crowds. I mean, you know, they tried to do it at some of the soccer games in Europe, and it was just a matter of time before someone went in there. Rock concert or music venue.
Yeah, sure. You know? Yeah, basically a rock concert.
But
yeah.
you know, 8-year-old girls, and it's so disgusting. But you know, yeah, that's
we were overseas when the Bataclan happened in Paris with the Eagles of Death Metal.
We were in Japan actually.
Okay,
yeah.
So we were there. We were in the Netherlands, which is very close to France. And
absolutely,
the band started canceling and going home, and we were like. What do we do? Like, right. I don't want to go home. We played Paris a week later.
Did ya?
And, you know, I said, I don't care if 10 people come. I don't care if whatever. We're doing it. And there's yeah. so many people so thankful that we did it. Right. But it sucks, man. It's scary. Jeez, like, I'm looking at the door. You know, we're not playing arenas, but I'm playing a venue. I'm looking at the front door from the stage. Just like, if anything weird happens.
Yeah.
You know, have you guys ever had any instances of that? Any yeah. kind of issues?
We got tear gassed once in Switzerland. This was years ago, and the weird thing is you always think what would I do if something happened,
right?
We had no idea. We just saw half the audience just move over the other side and disappear out the door, and we're like, whoa. And then everyone's eyes started burning, and we just like, whoa, just stopped, and then everyone left, and someone had thrown a tear gas canister.
Just someone snuck a tear gas yeah. canister in and just threw it.
Yeah. It was really weird.
That's crazy.
Totally weird.
Did you obviously have to stop the show?
Yeah, no, it was done. It was after that. We were like, I mean, we couldn't see. It was like burning eyes. And
the worst feeling ever.
Audience, yeah, wicked. Yeah.
We went to Oktoberfest once in Winnipeg when I was like 22 years old and had a couple drinks. We jumped on stage with the polka band, and they were singing Taking Care of Business, so we joined in. And the security guards came, so we left, me and my friend, and the guys maced us with that tear gas. And I was like, why did you do that? You're just sitting wow. there like it hurts so bad you can't even open. And the cops came over and said, what happened? I said, like, you know, we got maces. He says, we're going to leave you alone. He said, what are you going to do, arrest us for obstructing a polka? Like, you can't really get us on that, you know? But the worst feeling, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's just terrible, terrible, terrible.
Brutal, yeah.
Have you ever had any other ones where you had, like, a stop a show? And we had a fight in the crowd the other day. It was really bad. Have you ever seen that before?
Yeah. See a lot of stuff and people getting crushed and stuff like that.
What do you
that.
Do when that happens?
It depends. You try and stop it. Joe used to stop it. We haven't seen it for a while, but, you know, back in the 80s when it'd be kind of crazy out there, mm-hmm. people getting crushed out there, ribs broken and stuff like that. And
right.
You'd just stop the show and say, well, you know, just step back, you know.
You have to, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking about Walking Dead. Who's your favorite character on the show?
I like Rick, really. I know it's an yeah. easy one, but I dig Rick. I like he's so troubled, and it's not easy for him at all. You know?
Everyone's looked at him for everything
Absolutely.
That goes wrong. It's interesting too because there's a lot of English actors that come over to the States,
unbelievable,
and have the American accents. You know,
we were just talking about that. Like, have you seen The Americans?
I have not, show. But I know what it is though.
Same deal.
Really?
Great show. Yeah, and the lead guy is is Welsh.
It's called
actually.
The Americans.
Yeah.
You freaking limeys are coming over stealing all our gigs.
What's the other one? What's the other one?
Sons of Anarchy.
Oh, right, yeah.
Jax was English.
Absolutely. Billions, yeah.
Billions. All the actors on Fear of the Walking Dead.
Yes.
Are from New Zealand or Australia.
Crazy,
or England.
Yeah.
Like, every single one of them shows up on Talking Dead. Like, I'm so excited to be on the show. I'm like, another one?
Right.
Like, geez, man. I want to go to England and get a gig on, like, the top English TV show and adopt an English accent.
Right.
And I do that, right?
Yeah.
Do you watch Fear of the Walking Dead at
yeah,
all?
Yeah, I do, actually.
What do you think of that one?
First, I didn't like it. And then as the character development became better, I really started digging it. And I love Nick's character. I think is kind of cool.
Well, I think we might have talked about this, but everyone was complaining, like, it's so slow. It's
right.
so slow. And she's nodding her head, understanding. Of course it's slow.
Yeah.
No one knew. You can talk. We watch zombie movies and zombie shows. We've been watching them for years. We
yeah.
know how it is. You got to shoot the zombie. Can you imagine if right now, if your tour bus driver, see, right?
Yeah.
If your tour bus driver came on the bus and he looked kind of sick, you'd be like, what's wrong, dude? And if he came to bite you, like, what the hell's going on? You're done.
Absolutely.
And how long would it take to understand that if I shoot him in the head, I'm not going to get in trouble?
Right.
Right?
Absolutely. And to believe that is so hard to believe. So, yeah.
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 So
if a group of people came running past you, you wouldn't think that zombies were chasing them. You'd probably say, what are they running?
Well, exactly. That's exactly right. What are they running from? What's going on?
Yeah.
Why does that guy look weird? Why is he drunk? Oh, he's drunk. He's drunk. Get away from
that's
me.
That's exactly it.
So I like that part of it, and I got it right off the bat. And so many people, like the ratings were down. It's like,
yeah.
you guys have to let it develop and understand.
And I agree. I think it's cool.
Right? And then they just went full-on gorilla last season, just had a bunch of gory stuff, and it was yeah. just by eating brains. And I was like, okay, now they're trying to, you know,
yeah, capitalize
include everybody.
It. Absolutely.
Right? Do you watch anything else?
Yeah, yeah. Game of Thrones, great.
Oh, another great
awesome.
One.
Awesome. Awesome. Deep, dark.
And also, like you said, it's not about medieval times.
Absolutely.
That's the backdrop for
yeah.
this screwed-up family relationship
yeah.
and all this sort of stuff. What do you think the secret is on that show, like as far as the end game of it? Where's the story going?
There's a few characters you really want to win. You know, you want
right.
Jon Snow to because he's such a cool character.
Yeah, especially after they brought him back to life, which was a little bit like, okay.
Absolutely, yeah. We'll
it.
Let that go because
yeah,
he had to die.
Yeah, right,
and,
right.
And the White Walkers, that's just
huge.
Great. So there's so many that have been killed off. Gotham, great.
Yes.
Great.
Great character.
Yeah.
You know, and what I think is going on is I think you're going to see Daenerys, and I think Jon Snow is the bastard child, right?
Yes.
I think that Daenerys and Jon Snow are stepbrother and sister,
oh.
the same father, the same mother, and he's also a dragon king.
There you go. See?
That's what I think. And that's not
no,
a spoiler
because no, no.
I don't know anything about anything.
That sounds great.
And you know, because it's signed for like another year.
Yes.
I think.
Right.
And then it's done.
It is, yeah.
I think that that's where it's going, that those two are going to be the ones to kind of save, you know, Westeros
wow.
and the world from the White Walkers and with the dragons as their.
Wow.
Makes sense, right?
It makes total sense.
I mean, that could be it. But that's another great one, too.
It really is, yeah.
Did you guys ever get into Breaking Bad?
Loved it.
Yeah. Do you like Better Call Saul then? Do you like that?
First season, I've got to catch up because I really dug it. Slow burn, but it's supposed to be,
mm-hmm.
and it's great. And I keep meaning to do season two and three. So
yeah. And once again, very slow burn, but it's just as well written.
Absolutely,
as Breaking Bad.
Yeah,
just in a different way.
Totally, you know? It works. It's, mm-hmm. it's amazing. It's not so bang bang bang. You have to think about it a bit more cerebral actually.
Absolutely,
so, yeah.
absolutely. And that's why like and also too, it's now getting into where. They're building it to where the beginning of Breaking Bad, this show is kind of the whole progression of all those Tuco and the old guy that was in the wheelchair
yeah.
that blew up the Chicken Man. Chicken Man's
great, yeah.
Best scene
yeah.
ever, right?
Absolutely.
Does anybody else in the band watch this stuff with you?
No, that's it.
Man in High Castle.
Fancy. You seen that?
Which one is that?
Man in the High Castle.
No.
So Philip K. Dick, who wrote Blade Runner, mm-hmm. Minority Report, he wrote this thing. It's about if World War II, if the Nazis had won, so New York is the center of the Third Reich, and the Western Pacific states is owned by the Japanese.
Okay.
And there's a no man's zone in the middle. It's like Colorado. It goes all the way down to South America. But it's deep, and it's really expensive as well. You can tell, like, the uniforms.
They spent a lot of money on it.
Totally.
Yeah.
And the characters are amazing. You'd really dig
Is it on HBO?
It's on...
Netflix?
Netflix. Amazon Original.
Okay. Isn't it amazing how many platforms there are for these great shows?
Yeah.
You know, you're talking about a network TV show. It's like, what does that even matter anymore?
Right.
You know? Absolutely. All this stuff, right?
And they pay so much money. They get such great quality actors.
Mm-hmm.
And the scripts are amazing. You know, the development, because you can do it over a few seasons... You know these people, you know, when you're in a movie, you know, you got an hour and a half,
you're right.
2 hours.
Yeah, yeah.
You got to put it there. But like, for example, we saw the Pirates of the Caribbean last night. The new one. It's awesome.
Yeah.
It's so amazing. And again, you know Johnny Depp's character. It's been developed. So you know, you go, okay, this is...
Huge reaction when you see him come out again.
Jack Sparrow is right there. Right. And the TV thing is a bit like that, you know, it's character development and you're familiar with them.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a soap that's been on for years.
You've got 10 hours to develop.
Fargo, yeah.
Oh, Fargo's great too.
Killer.
Now, I haven't been watching the third season. I watched the first episode and I forgot that it was on, so I've got all those backed up. Is the third season as good as two?
I think
one was the best.
One was great. Yeah. It was great. And I dug second Ted Danson and the whole thing. You know, it's just such a weird... parallel universe.
Did you see Fargo the movie?
Yeah.
So that's what I like about it, is it's got the same vibe. It's quirky, it's weird, but it's not based on that movie.
Right.
You know? I mean, the first one kind of was very,
some
very
of the
loosely.
Characters,
some of the characters, like...
Martin Freeman character.
Totally based on William H. Macy.
Yeah.
But now, like you said, like the last one, there's UFOs in the sky and there's all this stuff. Like, what are they doing? But that's all part of this weird Coen Brothers style universe, right?
Absolutely.
You know, we got to wind down. I know you got to get ready to warm up though. But when you're talking about still being on the road with Def Leppard and being bigger than ever, are you guys planning on some more new songs? Because you did the last record that came out, which was did good.
Done amazing.
Which is interesting because a lot of people, like Gene Simmons, says, well, no one wants to hear new material, which I totally disagree with.
I agree. I disagree as well, because I think if you make great music, people will dig it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we always try and do that and always try and... You know, it doesn't really matter. That's why we're here. Otherwise, you're just... it's a business agenda, otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
So
nostalgia act,
absolutely.
Almost, right?
So you want to... The lifeblood is new material, and it's different. You can... It's such a challenge to make something that someone will like and recognize, and injecting new kind of ideas.
Mm-hmm.
Making it modern sounding without sounding like you're trying too hard. All of those things.
But you're also Def Leppard. So the last record was called Def Leppard, right? So you have a certain sound that you're known for.
Right.
Very melodic. When I think of Def Leppard, I think of lots of vocals and harmonies and hooky choruses. And that's... You kind of have to do that.
Without a doubt.
That's your thing.
Without a doubt.
Right?
The one album we didn't do that on Slang.
Slang,
and everyone was like, oh my God, we can't deal with this. And was like, oh, okay, so...
And the best song on that was Slang, which sounded like a Def Leppard song.
Absolutely.
from Stereo or whatever it may be.
Yeah.
Right.
So, you got to have that ingredient there. But it was nice doing a little detour, but, you know, we came back. And
how many new songs do you play live?
3.
Okay, cool.
So that's enough. I mean, it's like the Stones, you know.
Yeah.
But so I think the trick is, when you do a new song, you have to make it theatrical. Otherwise, people get bored.
Mm-hmm.
So we open with it. So if you're still around with just the first song... It's the most spectacular with the lights and the screen.
What's the song called?
Let's Go.
Okay, great. Because the last time I saw you, I'm going to see you guys tomorrow night.
Okay.
But the last time I saw you, open with, it began with a U. Unbreakable.
Undefeated.
Undefeated.
Yes.
There you go.
Oh,
and I told you, I said, what a smart move.
Right.
You open with the new song.
Yeah.
So halfway through the first 2-3 minutes, people are so excited to see you. They might like, what song is this? I love it. I love it. And then like, oh, is this a new song?
Absolutely.
But by then you're doing, you know, Let's Get Rocked or something.
Yeah.
It's like, you wily old veterans. You. But that's smart.
Definitely. Yeah.
Do the new songs go over well?
They do now. When we first done them, it was like, you know, hear a pin drop a little bit. It's like they're looking then. But then we kind of really up the ante, and it's so weirdly spectacular in the background. All the screens and the lights and the colours. It's like, whoa, it's like an assault of the senses.
So you put some extra production behind it as
Definitely.
Well.
Definitely. So that's what you have to do with a new song or stuff that people don't know, especially if they're going to be next to a photograph or a stereo or something like that. You got to kind of...
That's what Paul McCartney said. He said, if I'm going to play a new song, I always give... Give them a spoonful of sugar afterwards.
Absolutely.
Here's the new one. Thank you. And now here's Hard Day's Night.
Yeah.
Or whatever it may be.
Yeah.
And then there's Iron Maiden, which just goes and plays their whole new album. It's entirely right. Doesn't give a shit anyways, right?
Yeah, it's weird.
It is weird,
yeah,
isn't it?
They dig it.
So we kind of talked about it a bit, but you talk about like the biggest bands still from that era.
Yeah.
Leopard and Maiden, and now Metallica's doing stadiums and Guns N' Roses doing stadiums. You guys have reached that Stones category where it's multi-generational now.
Yes.
It's not just the older fans, it's younger fans as well.
Yeah, literally their grandkids in some cases.
And
sure.
You see that, you see them in the crowd?
We do, and I think one of the other things is just by keeping at it, and back to the integrity word again, our t-shirts are being, you know, they're at Forever 21 and, you know, all these different stores.
Hot Topic,
yeah,
or whatever.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
So they're all over the place. So there's a presence, and people relate to that, and that means you're not an old fogey band. Mm-hmm. You know, it really means it kind of suggests something else. So they're more prepared to come and see you. So we see them and they go crazy.
That's
great.
Great.
Yeah.
So you guys are still digging it and still enjoying it. Still,
it's the best thing ever.
Yeah.
You know, it really is. It's,
I mean, to reach the level of Def Leppard, that's 0.0001% of anybody that ever puts on a guitar.
Right.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, that's something, like, I always told Slash that, like, I've known him for years. Like, dude, sooner or later, you guys will do that again. Because to play a stadium, only the top
right
will have that experience. And I don't care what the bullshit is. Sooner or later, that's something that when we were kids, you have that right. You guys have done it too,
world.
Right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Last two questions. A, what's your favorite TV show of all time?
I think it's Walking Dead, actually.
Walking Dead.
I think so, yeah. When you break it down, for sure.
I think Carl is going to be like the John Connor in Terminator.
Well, he is, isn't he? He kind of.
He's learning his mettle, and he's going to be the one that whatever happens, he'll be the savior.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But here's one last thing about Walking Dead, too. It's like, if they're zombies, and these guys are in Atlanta.
Yeah.
It's hot.
Yes.
So it's going to be rotting.
Funky, smelly, yeah.
But the flesh is going to rot off the zombies. Sooner or later, they're just going to be skeletons, and they're going to fall down and die.
But they keep getting new people, don't they?
Because of there you go.
Yeah.
But why don't you just go up to Canada, go to Winnipeg, where I grew up, where it's minus 30, they're going to freeze.
You know, you're absolutely
that
right.
That could work, right?
It's like the White Walkers, though. You know, it's like, get over that wall.
Good call.
That Canadian ice wall.
Never connecting the two. Last question, and I know you got to get ready for your show. What's your favorite song to play live still?
I still like Rocket, because it sums Def Leppard up in a nutshell. It's got big, it's an anthem. It's got big drums, and it's Rocket. Yeah, it's like, all of that.
But it's
stuff.
Got the build of Hysteria, kind of the proggy style, with the great chorus, great solo. That could be my favorite Def Leppard song.
Yeah, I dig it. Thank you.
I love Rock Rock Till You Drop too, but that could be it when I hear Rocket.
Yeah.
Cool, man. I'm looking forward to hearing it. You better play it. I'm requesting
absolutely.
It.
We're doing it.
So when you do it, you do it just for me, right?
Absolutely.
Thank you, Phil.
Brilliant.
I appreciate that, man.
Thank you.
Awesome, man.
Thank you.
All right, so after I hit stop on that great conversation with Phil Collins, such a great guy, we were still talking on his bus, and he started telling this story about the time Def Leppard met jazz bass player extraordinaire Jaco Pastorius from the Weather Report and from the Jaco documentary that Robert Trujillo made a few years ago. We talked about that quite a bit on this show. They met Jaco one December night in Holland. So I hit record, and Phil said I could share this on the show. So here's the bonus story. Phil Collins versus Jaco Pastorius.
December.
Right.
And it's ice. It freezed over that year. So we're the only people in there. Then this band comes through. It's Jaco Pastorius' band. So Joe, we all like left all the doors open because we're the only ones there. We'd walk in each other's rooms and stuff. This guy walks into Joe's room. He goes, I could shit on that keyboard and make it sound great. Joe's like, who's this guy? And he goes, some weird stuff. You'll have to talk to Joe. But he said, yeah, I'm Jaco Pastorius. And they played some gigs and they got into a fight with the audience. And you can imagine, this is jazz, this is jazz rock, and the guy from Weather Report, and it's like, here they are having a fight with the audience in Holland, and staying at this hotel. We're in a village called Loestrecht, which was like the middle of nowhere, like on all this water that froze over. You could walk over to these bars and stuff. Really cool. But yeah, it was the Jaco just from nowhere. Just walks into Joe's room and kind of starts doing it.
Shit on this keyboard.
I can shit and make it sound great, yeah. So that was the quote. We're like, okay. And Joe's like, okay, who are you and what are you doing in my room? You know?
You want to try it?
Yeah, I know, right? Absolutely. Great.
That's funny, man.
Great story. I have to show that to Rob Trujillo, make sure he hears that, man. Thanks to Phil Collin, and you've got to see Def Leppard live this year. They're spending the spring and all summer on the road with Journey. What a 1-2 punch that is. Dates start May 21st in Hartford, Connecticut. Run all the way through October. DefLeppard.com is all the ticket information. Also, Leppard also going to play Hysteria in its entirety in December in the UK with opening act Cheap Trick. I am actually texted Phil earlier today and said, that's a rock and roll show I want to see. Don't forget about Delta Deep, Phil Collins' blues band with Robert DeLeo of Stone Temple Pilots and singer Debbie Blackwell. They just released a new album. It's called East Coast Live. You can get that at deltadeep.net. You can also hear their new music video for the song Whiskey. Go check that out. And also, Phil is on tour with G3, John Petrucci, Joe Satriani, and Phil Collins. Phil is a guitar player extraordinaire. What a shredder. What a rocker. Delta Deep touring right now. They joined up with Joe Satriani's G3 tour. They're opening the show, and then Phil's playing with G3 later. They're on the road all month. You can get tickets at deltadeep.net. So go check out Phil Collin. And speaking of buying tickets, Chris Jericho's Rockin' Wrestling Rager at Sea. Go to chrisjerichocruise.com and book your cabin now if you haven't already. We set sail October 27, 2018. The names keep getting added on a weekly basis. And remember, for as low as $150, it can hold your cabin at chrisjerichocruise.com. Everything is included in the price. All the food, all the activities, all the live podcasts, stand-up comedy shows, meet and greets, signings. You want a picture with Jim Ross? Don't cost you a dime. All the concerts for free. The Sea of Honor, Ring of Honor tournament. It is all covered in the price of your cabin. Food as well. The only things you pay for on top of that are drinks and gambling. And you'll be able to come and hang on the ship, hang out with, take pictures with, kibitz with Jim Ross, Jerry the King Lawler, SoCal Val, Mick Foley, Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, Rey Mysterio, Raven, Cyrus and Paul Lazenby from Killing the Town, Conan, Disco Inferno, and Shane Helms from Keeping It 100. Tim and Dave are going to scare the pants off you with Beyond the Darkness seminars. Colt Cabana and Marty DeRosa doing their hilarious unprofessional wrestling show. Brad Williams, Ron Funches, Jim Brewer doing some great comedy. Jim's also going to be playing with his band, The Loud and Rowdy. What a band he has, featuring Steve Brown and PJ Farley from Trickster and Joey Castanella from ZO2. Busted Open's going to be there. LaGreca's going to be there. Well, maybe Bubba will be there as well, hopefully. Phil Campbell and the Bastard Sons, their new album, The Age of Absurdity, is out now. Go check that out. Check out their new video for Dark Days. King is going to be there. The Stir, Atlanta's hottest new rock and roll band. The Dave Spivak Project. Go check out Spiwi's new video for Get Out of My House. That's on YouTube. The Darlings of Rock and Roll, The Cherry Bombs, Shoot to Thrill, the world's greatest AC/DC tribute band. Blizzard of Ozzy is going to be there, the world's greatest Ozzy cover band. And, of course, Ring of Honor presenting the Sea of Honor tournament aboard the ship. Matches happening in the middle of the ocean, and the winner of the Sea of Honor tournament gets a Ring of Honor World Heavyweight Champion shot in the future. The Young Bucks will be there. The Villain, Marty Scurll, Adam Page, Cody, don't call him Rose, the entire Bullet Club. Cody's wife, Brandy, is going to be there. The Briscoe Brothers, Dalton Castle, Frankie Kazarian, Christopher Daniels, Jay Lethal, Delirious was just added this week. So many more coming up. I've got some big names coming up. I'm going to blow your socks off. It is going to be the place to be. It's going to be the destination vacation for the ages. Come join us, ChrisJerichoCruise.com. Don't you dare wait. We're on a sellout pace. I want you there with me, all right? You're also going to hear a great Words of Jericho show on board that cruise. And I'm coming back to the UK for the Words of Jericho. May 21st, Glasgow. May 22nd, Manchester. May 23rd, London. Get your tickets at Inside the Ropes. Go check that out. It's going to be great. Got lots of stuff coming up. ChrisJerichoCruise.com. But I'm ChrisJericho.com for season 2 of But I'm Chris Jericho. And, of course, the Painless video. If that's not enough for you, just wait until you see who we got coming up Wednesday right here on Talk is Jericho on Westwood One. We've already got 1.5 million downloads in 1 month. Those are real, actual downloads. We are killing it here on Talk is Jericho. And keeping up with the crazy themes, next Wednesday, it is the Marvel versus DC Super War. That's right. We're going to analyze the years of competition between Marvel and DC. The crazy things that you never thought had happened. The mafia, sticking it to each other. It's going to be a great show. Marvel versus DC Super War, featuring author Reed Tucker, who wrote a great book about it called Slugfest. You're not going to want to miss this. It's very, very interesting. Just as every episode of Talk is Jericho is interesting, isn't it? All right, we will see you then. In the meantime and in between time, stay safe, stay hard, stay cool, stay hungry. We'll see you on Wednesday for the Marvel versus DC Super War. All right, be cool. Yeah, boy. Pour some Phil calling on me in the name of Leo.